the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So today's gospel is a kind of a scary one. And it's a scary one for me as, you know, a son of God, a child of God. It should be a scary one for you. And it's a scary one for me also as a preacher man who gives sermons about gospels and sermons about all kinds of different stuff. I have a fear with this gospel. This is a very commonly known gospel and commonly heard gospel, and we could all kind of recite most of the stuff that's in it, just kind of like from the top of our head. Love your enemy, bless those who curse you. And we all know those things about someone strikes you on one cheek and then turn the other one, and like first mile and second mile, and as for your cloak, give me your tunic also. We know all those things. But my fear is that the discrepancy between how much we know and how little we do is highest in this area. Like, there's a lot of things that we don't know and we don't do. Okay, that's not so bad. That's not ideal. Okay, the ideal is that you know and that you do. But there's a lot of things that we may not know and therefore we may not do. But in this area, there isn't one of us who doesn't know all these things, but my fear is that we've almost heard it so many times that we don't even hear it. You understand what I'm saying there? You know when you hear something so many times you don't hear it? You know like when they say when you drive by like a sign on the street, okay, if you see it like, I don't know what it is, like after the eighth time that you've seen it, you don't see it anymore. And my fear is with this gospel is that we've heard love your enemies so many times that we don't hear it. And we've heard forgive as your Father forgives you, be merciful as your Father is merciful, so many times that we don't even hear it anymore. So I started to think to myself as I'm reading this. I said, okay, we don't want to just do anything routine, especially it's summer. Easy thing in summer is just hit on the cruise control autopilot sometime between Pentecost and Nauru. Just kind of put it on cruise control and you'll get there eventually. And it's 4th of July weekend and, you know, we just want to finish liturgy quick, get to Wegmans, get this weekend started. You know how it is. And then on top of that is thunderstorms, and you know, like, who comes to church when there's thunderstorms outside? So it's easy just to put it on cruise control. But I don't think Jesus is on cruise control today, so I don't want to be on a different speed than he's on. So I looked at these commandments. I said, okay, let's choose one. Let's choose one and just take one, because it's so hard to do all. Let's just choose one and focus on one. And I started reading. There's 10 verses here. Any guesses? How many commandments are given in these 10 verses? Guesses. How many? Guess. 3? 10? No, more than 10. 15. 15 commandments, 10 verses. So I had to my pick of 15 different ones to choose from. Should I go with love your enemies? How about do good to those who hate you? How about bless those who curse you? How about the strikes you on the one cheek, turn the other one? How about give to him who asks from you? How about lend to those who ask not, expecting to receive anything in return? How about be merciful? How about judge not? How about condemn not? How about forgive? So try to think, so which one? And then I realized something. I don't think when Jesus was giving this passage, he wanted to give us a commandment to do. I don't think this passage is focused on the task as much as it is focused on the way of thinking. Like, he wasn't telling us the point of this wasn't to do this one thing. And he didn't have, okay, here's 15 things I got for you to do. Try to take one a week until you finish them. It wasn't like that. When he said all these back to back to back to back to back to back to back, what he's trying to do is change our way of thinking. Not change our actions, but change our way of thinking. As the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. And I think that's what he's saying with our mind, is that if we are in Christ, we need to think differently. We need to think differently than the rest of the world thinks, than we thought before we were in Christ. We need to think differently. And the key to me, I'll show you what the key and how to think differently. Where is it? Where it says, somewhere in here. What could it do? And if you do good to those who do good to you, what could it do? For For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Oh, you know what? It's in the Matthew 5 account. It's in the Matthew 5 account where it says, where it talks about what do you do more than others. Remember that one where it talks about, this passage is Luke 6, is another version of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, it's in Luke 6. That is a condensed version. Okay, it's like the Beatitudes are like the condensed version and the same teachings. The full version is in Matthew chapter 5. But in Matthew chapter 5, where he's talking about if you love those who love you and if you lend to those who lend to you, then what do you do more than others? Okay? He's saying, what do you do more than others? If you only love the people that love you, what do you do more than others? And if you only lend to the people who lend to you, what do you do more than others? And if you're only merciful to those who are merciful to you, what do you do more than others? So this expression, what do you do more than others? Okay? And you connect that with the expression that he also says in the end of the Sermon on the Mount, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, is what I think the Lord is trying to change in our way of thinking. Our way of thinking is a little bit, it needs to be adjusted. Because our way of thinking somehow, in everything else except spirituality, let's take like your career for example. Most people, Washington D.C. metropolitan area, guys got your ties on, ladies dressed nicely, educated, degrees, careers, ambitious. And most people don't want to settle for just being an average in their career. They want to get ahead, they want to advance. It's not bad, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be ambitious. But somehow, that same ambition doesn't translate always to our spiritual life. And my fear is that our spiritual life, we just settle in for, you know where it says, what do you do more than others? We're not so much concerned with more than others. As long as we kind of are in the average, you know what I mean? We're not Mother Teresa, okay, but we're also not Hitler. So we're kind of somewhere between Mother Teresa and Hitler. As long as we're in there, somewhere in the average, in the bell curve, we're kind of okay. And you know, these guys don't do that, and they don't do that. Okay, well maybe I'm not quite to that, but I'm not as bad as that. And we kind of fit ourselves in there to the average somewhere. And our Lord Jesus Christ is trying to tell us, no average. What do you do more than others? If all you do is others, then you have the same reward as others. Remember what Jesus said about the scribes and the Pharisees? He said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you know how the rest of the verse goes? It's scary. You will, by no means, enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless your righteousness exceeds, not averages, not the average is the same. Unless your righteousness, what? Exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm not trying to be condemning to you or make you feel bad. I'm just trying to show you the way Jesus wants us to think. And the way he wants us to think is what we usually do is we go out there and we try just to like I said, blend in. We're all going for like a B+. Okay, what the world is, let's go for B+. That's not what Jesus is trying to teach us. That's why he says crazy things here. He says things like love your enemies. He says things like bless those who curse you. He says things like if someone hits you on one cheek, turn the other cheek is the epitome of something that's totally counter to everything that we've been taught in life. He wants us to change our way of thinking. He wants us to reach high spiritually. To reach high. I don't want you to think that he wants us to feel guilty or to just put burdens on us. He wants us to reach high because he says your reward is great. That's what it said right here. He's not just saying do this and do all this kind of stuff. It said, this one I know is in here somewhere. Hold on. It says, what credit to you? Here. But love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the highest. He's not just telling us to do this and do it and do it and just force yourself. What he's saying is, I want to give you a reward, a great reward. But if you want a great reward, you gotta pick it up a little bit. Pick up the pace a little bit. Like, aim for great, and I'll give you great. Aim for great, and I'll give you great. That ties in with one of my other verses that I love so much, Matthew 9:29, where it says, according to your faith, let it be to you. A lot of us, our faith is, just kind of get through. and just kind of be average. And that's why maybe our reward will be average. But God says, no, aim for the great, and I'll give you the great. Aim to be above, and I'll give you above. I remember it was one time in my life, back when I was very spiritual, okay, before priesthood. That's what all the spirituality was, okay? Back when I was just a youngster, and I didn't know much about much. I remember, and I shared this story with you guys before, is that one time, I always struggled with this passage. Abuna Bishoy was giving a sermon about this passage, and he was talking about how what makes a Christian is love your enemies. He said that's like the defining feature of Christianity, is that love your enemies. And he said something, he said you can't be a Christian unless you love your enemies. So I was young, I was kind of like whatever, naive, call it whatever it is that you want to call it. I wasn't that sharp. I said, oh my goodness, I don't have any enemies. I don't have any enemies. I can't think of anyone. Like, I was just a happy-go-lucky guy. Not that anyone out there didn't, I'm sure I annoyed a lot of people, but I'm just not smart enough to figure out that I annoyed people. And I thought everyone loved me. I thought everything was good. And I'm just kind of naive. I'm just going through life. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I seriously, this is how I was. This is back when I was very spiritual. Not anymore, I wish. I prayed, said, God, give me enemies. God, give me enemies. You know what God's answer was? He made me a priest. And I haven't been had that problem ever since. No, I'm just joking with you. But the point is, I remember there was a point in time in my life where I said, you know what, God? Like, I don't want to just be content. I want to be something, like, I want to be set apart. I want to be above average. I want to be something. Not that I want to be something. Let me change that. I want the great reward. I want the great reward. You need to think to yourself, what do you do more than others? And again, I'm not saying it in a legalistic, like a duty, like an obligation. I'm not saying it that way. Because if you do that, you don't understand anything I'm saying. What I'm saying is the key to Christianity is a different way of thinking. Remember when St. Peter came to Christ, said, Lord, my brother sinned against me. Now, the average person out there may have forgiven his brother twice, three times, four times. Lord, I'm going for a B+. I'm going seven times. Lord says, seven? Huh. What's seven? How many times do you forgive? 70 times seven. Like, average? St. Peter said, I'll go B+. He said, no. What's B+? This is not Christianity. Christianity? 70 times 7. Out of a different way of thinking. Like he didn't just add to his way of thinking, change his way of thinking entirely. So wait a minute. So the goal here isn't just what I'm due and what he's due and when I'm good and when I'm above average. The goal is a totally different way of thinking, a totally different way of behaving, a totally different way of walking, a different world view, a transformed mind. And that's what the Lord is trying to give us, that same message here today. That we would go further. And I think to myself, I chose that word further for a reason. Anytime I think of that word further, am I willing to go further? Am I willing to sacrifice more? Am I willing to go further? I always think of that verse when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says that Jesus, after all that, said that Jesus went a little further and knelt down and prayed. And that little tiny expression, went a little further and knelt down and prayed. That expression, went a little further. I think that little further made all the difference for me and you. Agree? His little further made all the difference for me and you. Without his little further, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be there today. We wouldn't be able to approach this table today. Without his little further, our reward wouldn't be great. Life wouldn't be the same. The question that I'm throwing out to you, that the gospel is throwing out to me and to you, is that are you willing to go further? Just a little further. Are you willing to go further, or are you going to be on cruise control? Are you just going to be just average and maybe just a little bit above average? Or are you willing to go further? Further in how you look at those who hurt you. Further and how you look at those who are in need around you. Further, how you look at those who are sick and those who have sickness, and that's why they hurt you. Not because they're bad, but because they're sick. Are you willing to go further in how you look at them and how you treat them? God is giving us a great promise with a great condition. Great is your reward in heaven. That's why when it talked about the Beatitudes that we read in the sixth hour gospel in Matthew chapter 5, that rejoice, okay, count it all joy. When they persecute you and they falsely all kinds of things against you, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? Why should you be exceedingly glad? Because great is your reward in heaven. Great reward, great condition. God is trying to today to like nudge us, push us, wake us up. Say, I got something great, but are you willing to be great and go a little bit further for me? Glory be to God forever. Amen.